Now, the making of a good compilation tape is a very subtle art. Many do's and don'ts. First of all, you're using someone else's poetry to express how you feel. This is a delicate thing.
You gotta kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you gotta take it up a notch. But you don't wanna blow your wad, so then you gotta cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
WGN. Hello, it's Amy Youth and Robert K. Elder. We're here this evening on the night side, which I've never hosted before in this spot. It's really fun, and I'm so glad that you're here with me.
I think I'm bringing up like my midnight voice.
Yeah,
like,
be that guy. Yeah, I mean, look at this studio we are in. We have this beautiful view, and it's dark and cool, and we've got 2 hours to talk about music. And here's why we're doing this tonight, because you wrote a really marvelous book.
Thank you.
That is all about the mixtape of your life. Book doesn't do it justice, because it's really like journal prompts.
Yeah.
To like dig deep in your memory about songs that have mattered in your life.
Right. I'm trying to help people sort of tell their life story through their music. So you got a vast music collection out there through tape, CD, Spotify. How many times have you been listening and you're like, oh, I remember that song, and it brings some piece of your life just flooding back? So that's what this was about, and it was a way to document that experience.
I love that. And was there a particular thing that made you say, this is the book I'm going to put together?
I'm always writing books.
Yeah, you are.
But no, I mean, my sort of beat has been epiphany moments. No matter what book I'm doing, this is book number 7 or 8.
The fact that you just had to pause and count and look up, like,
I think this one is number 8. But
you are a very prolific writer. In fact, like, I'll run into you somewhere and go, what are you doing? How's it going? And you'll tell me about a book. And then the next time I run into you, I'm inclined to say, how's that book going? And it's always like, well, the book's coming out tomorrow, and I've started working on this one. It'll be out in 2 months, and I'm doing this other one.
Yeah, I did just turn in the next one.
That's awesome. That's good for you, though. A lot of people.
But mostly,
kind of
we run into one another, and I talk to you about my twins, and then we talk about other stuff.
Well, you've got funny stories.
I have 10-year-old twins, people. It's a lot of twin talk.
So here's what we're gonna do this evening. We're gonna talk about music. We're gonna go through some of the prompts in your book.
Right.
And we're gonna share some stories. There's gonna be sharing. And caring, and some probably not caring. No, we'll share, but we also want to hear from you. I'm going to turn my phone off because the ringer's on there. But we want to hear from you. We're going to talk about some of these prompts. In particular, like, there's going to be things where we really want to hear, like, hey, what was the song that you couldn't wait to dance to at the prom? Or what was the song of your first kiss? We want to hear those things. A little bit later in the show, we're gonna tell you when, but we want to hear about that.
Yeah, and we have one coming up, I think, after the top of the second hour.
Yeah.
Which is, what song or artist can't you listen to because of a past romance? Because I want to hear all of those songs. Or all of those, all of those songs, all those stories.
Those are such a shame, because you're like, man, that's such a good song, but God, I hate that guy.
No. We got to have people reclaim it. That's what I'm saying.
You know what? I recently did that, like in the last year, from like a terrible relationship, like 15-17 years ago.
So what artist did you get back?
We're going to save that for that part of the conversation.
All right.
But recently I heard that song and I was like, you know what? I don't hate that guy anymore.
Oh, good.
I would throw a drink in his face if I saw him.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I don't go, oh, I can't listen to this song. I was like, you know what? Such a good song. I'm not going to let him. He's not going to haunt this song.
Until you tell me otherwise, it's going to be Rick Astley's Never Gonna Let You Down.
It is not that. It is not a Rick Astley song.
Listeners, that's exactly the song it is.
Yeah, it isn't. So we're going to, I think let's start off, though, talking about some childhood songs.
Sure.
Because let's go through, life in that way. We have prepared musical selections, too. But I think... when I think about, because I grew up in a very musical house. I don't know about you.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You, obviously, you wrote a book about music.
Yeah,
so.
Well, yeah. My mother belonged to the Columbia House record.
Oh, my God. Those were amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So we had, like, I think in one shipment, we had, like, Prince's Purple Rain and Thriller and probably some country thing. I grew up in Montana, so there's a lot of country that I know a ton about, but don't necessarily like.
Yeah.
but I'm coming back to it.
Contemporary country.
Well, for then, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've come to appreciate George Strait and even, you know, Willie Nelson. My wife loves Willie Nelson. But at the time, it was too much twang in one place for me.
Sure.
And how about yourself? So what were the songs?
About country?
About country, but no, just about the soundtrack. What was going on when you were growing up?
Well, my parents met in a band.
Oh, so, I forgot that. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, my parents met in a jazz band.
In Rick Astley's band?
Yes. Okay. No. No more Rick Astley. He's the band. No, my parents met in a jazz band. So there was always a lot of music in the house. And my dad was always just kind of, you know, if we were just sort of hanging out, he would just have his guitar in his hand and just sort of be playing something. And that could be anything from like classical Spanish guitar to, I mean, any some kind of little jazz riff.
Did he love like Django Reinhardt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He has a I don't know if it's not a patent, a trademark, I guess, on a song that is a bossa nova. That's my dad's.
Or a writing credit. Is that what you mean?
I don't know. Yeah. I got to find out.
Okay.
I have a recording of it, of him playing it.
Can we play it now? Do you have it?
No, I emailed him and I said, can you send me the digital file that we had made for that? And he didn't. That's confusing. That's internet stuff.
Okay.
I need to go there and open his Internet Explorer browser and upload it and then fly back. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's too much. Yes. That's too much. So we're going to take a break is what we're going to do right now. And we come back, we're going to talk about really important songs in our lives and your lives, all the lives, and play some of those really good songs. Amy Guth and Rob Elder here on WGN Nightside. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hello, it's Amy Guth and Rob Elder. We are here tonight talking about the soundtracks of our lives. That's what we're doing. He has got a book that is all about the mixtape of our lives. What is the subtitle of the book? Because it's a long title. Wait, hang on. I'm going to turn your microphone on.
It's a do-it-yourself music memoir.
That's the subtitle that I did not have in my head.
That's all right.
But it's such a fun book, and it's full of prompts, and so we're going to talk about some of those, because going through the book, you're reminded of cool things. Let us start with our childhoods. How about that?
Okay.
One of the prompts is, who taught you to dance, and what were the songs?
So for me, it was my mom and actually a friend of my mom's. And so my mom worked at a high school and then later my high school.
Oh, you didn't get away with anything then. Your mom worked there.
Well, yeah. But because it was Montana and because of high school, we went to a lot of weddings. So
what does that mean? Because it was Montana and it was high school.
Because people got married early.
Oh.
And she was, you know, a secretary in the dean's office. We knew a lot of people, so we went to a lot of weddings as kids. So you needed to learn to dance. So we learned to jitterbug. Yeah. We learned to two-step, country two-step. My mom, I think it was her friend Jeannie. I'm totally forgetting. But, And then we were also...
Taught you to dance this.
At
a wedding or leading up to a wedding?
No. We knew we had to go to weddings, so we learned in our basement. Like, literally,
that's cute.
It was like a snow ceiling. You remember those? From the 70s and 80s? And we also learned, I don't know if you had this where you grew up, but we also learned in gym class. Like, there was a whole... sort of segment that taught you like, oh, here's the, oh, what was it? Like Charleston. We did learn jitterbug, but it was a different type, but I thought like later. So yeah, it was interesting that we had dance, but it was also, I think we had, this was like, here's how to, interact with the opposite sex. I think that was just as important.
So we did not have that in gym class, but we did have like, it was, it was like, there was cotillion you could be invited to.
And so it was like manners or was
it? Yes, it's like charm school and dance and all this, but the invited part rubbed me the wrong way. So even though I was invited, I was like, you can take your cotillion invitation and I'll tell you where to put it. I wanted nothing to do with this cotillion thing. And I was, even then, even like in sixth grade, I was like, I think it's reinforcing gender roles. I don't like it. And I was already bent about
that. And so what state?
This was in Texas.
In Texas. Oh, yeah.
The cotillion and debutante stuff is real big there.
And so you didn't even go, and I'm envisioning you, by the way, at like 10 years old with a book on your head and your spine straight and no.
Well, no, you know what? My parents put me in a ballet class really early and this very mean Balanchine ballet teacher, she had two yardsticks and she would like snap them and like one would hit you in the belly and one would hit you in the lower back to make you stand up straight. Now she would go to jail. Yeah. But then not so much. And so I've always had very good posture because of her, because I was terrified not to have good posture. But I was just like, I reject that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to that. So I'm going to, you know.
But thank you for lifelong good posture.
I didn't have cotillion to thank. I had the Balanchine ballet teacher. I thank her for that, even though it was definitely child abuse.
Two giant rulers. And it's like, so you have good posture and a fear of rulers.
Right. The other issue is that I've been this tall since I was 14. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'10". So picture a bunch of sixth grade boys. No way am I going to a dance setting because I'm a tall lady. Mm-hmm. And
the eye lines were different.
Like, how do I say this? The eye lines were not an eye line I wanted to deal with.
Well, that's why you do the hands at 10 and 2.
It's that's like driving.
No. That's why you do the sort of like...
Oh, that awkward sway dance at junior... Oh, my gosh. The sway dance. Now, a little bit later, year or two later, like boys started to catch up. By the time the bar mitzvah circuit hit, the boys are catching up.
Okay.
So by then there was dancing. But... who taught me to dance was my dad.
Okay.
I was not interested in sleeping as a young child because it just seemed so exciting. The grown-ups are awake. I'm going to stay up and hang out with them. Mm-hmm. Which was infuriating to my parents.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would pretend to go to sleep and then an hour later be like, I'm bored. Let's do something. And that was so angry. No,
that's my little girl right now.
Well.
Like she's like... up moving furniture, but go ahead.
Well, she'll be in her 40s and still suffer from insomnia. I'm here to tell you that's a thing. So my dad decided he was going to work this out, and he was like, I will just wear her out with activity. That's what's going to happen. So we're at this point in the sort of the beginning of the last gasps of disco. And so he started putting on, and he was friends with a DJ, and so he had all of these you know, his friend was just giving him, like, I have five of this record, just take them. So he had all this stuff and eight tracks and all this kind of stuff. And so he put on the Bee Gees, and Stayin' Alive just became our song. Huh. And I just hear it, and I immediately, I can't not move to it because I've been moving to that song for most of my life.
So my mom loves that song. In fact, if she had a matinee idol, it would be John Travolta. So we grew up with that. We grew up with him in Urban Cowboy.
Yeah. And that movie's so good.
And you forget that I think within 4 years, those three movies came out. Grease, Saturday Night
Fever. Was it within 4 years?
Yeah. Saturday Night Fever.
Gosh, I feel like Grease was way later.
No. And then Urban Cowboy. And I think it was...
Urban Cowboy is such a good movie.
And I think it was Saturday Night Fever first, then Grease, then Urban Cowboy. So, like,
super
strange.
I would have
said
that backwards.
Yeah. And I think Urban Cowboy was 1980. And in fact, I interviewed John Travolta for the Tribune. I used to be a Chicago Tribune reporter. It's the only time
As we all were at some point.
But it's the only time I ever broke sort of interview etiquette. Because, listeners, you may not know this. When you interview somebody, you try to treat them like, you know, it's like a regular conversation. In fact, famous people in general don't want to be treated like they're famous. They would give anything just to have a normal conversation. And I did that mostly with John Travolta. He was promoting a movie here with Vince Vaughn, which I can't remember the name of.
Travolta and Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. It was like Domestic Disturbance or something. No one saw it but me. But I said, listen, my mom is like a huge fan. You're sort of, you know, her matinee idol. Would you mind signing like this DVD? And it's a DVD for Michael, that Angel movie he did.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so my mom, I give it to her for
Esteemed
Christmas.
Producer Tom Hush is shaking his head right now. He is an encyclopedia of movie knowledge. And he's over there like, nope, nope on that movie. Nope.
but she loved it so much that like, even, well, one, I gave it at Christmas and my brother said, don't you ever do that again. just because he's like, once she unwraps that, Christmas is over. It doesn't matter
it doesn't matter what whatever he gave her. He could give her a Ferrari, and she's like, I have John Travolta's autograph.
But also, she carried it around with her in her purse for, I don't know, weeks.
Why?
And she would just say, have you met John? And she would just bring it out and show it to people. But again, breach in journalistic, and journalistic, not ethics, but protocol.
Sure.
I regret none of it.
That's worth it to give your mom. Well, I want to go back to you for a second. Was there a particular song in the dance lesson that you had that stands out the most? Well, like in the mood.
And because not only is it Glenn Miller, you know, it's the big band swing, but it's also the song I associate most with my grandparents because they love to dance. So I have really strong associations with In the Mood. It's also in a Nick Nolte film I love with, is it Deborah Winger?
This is turning into a movie show.
I know. But it's important because it's how they come together, and it's based on a John Steinbeck book. And Tom, you're going to tell me the name.
That's a tough one. East of Eden? Maybe. No.
It's a great song. So here's what I will tell you about this song, is that when I was in high school, I went to a performing arts high school. Like, there was a writing program there, and that's why I wanted to go there. But we did all have to do all the things. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit like Fame, and there was a special bell that meant it's time to do something called the instant show. And we had an entire production that we had to do with 4 minutes notice or something. And that song was in it, followed by Sing, Sing, Sing.
Oh, yeah.
And there was an elaborate tap number that, like, during that transition, because I can tap dance.
Oh.
I'm here to tell you that I can tap dance. So that song always makes me think, got to put on tap shoes because I'm about to have to go be a backup dancer for someone who's going to do a tap solo, but I just have to be behind them doing a little bit of a time step.
Oh, that's great. And by the way, dear listeners, I know you were screaming this at the radio, but that movie is Cannery Row.
There it is.
Yeah.
It is.
But and that song has such a pivotal sort of, scene, because it's where it's not their meet cute, but it's how they sort of prove that they're interested in one another.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, because it's like a dare, like, can you dance or can you not dance? And there's a lot of great sort of, like, not bloopers, but he drops her a lot.
Thanks, guy. I feel like that convention in movies is one that's relied on a lot.
Which is?
The, like, can you dance or can't you? Like, think of that. That's a theme in a lot of movies.
I think in dance movies.
Well, but nonetheless, anyway, we are going to take a break, get your news, all that good stuff. Amy Guth and Robert Elder in on WGN Nightside. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hello, it's Amy Guth. And I'm here with Robert K. Elder. He's an author of a book about making a mixtape, making the soundtrack of your life. And I thought that was a very funny thing to do. And then I actually read this book and I was like, that is a funny thing to do, but it's also a brilliant thing to do, because it kind of takes you, it makes you write your own memoirs in a way, just with this, like, music overlay.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. And
it's so fun.
And actually, as you know, going on tour with this, part of the fun is just hearing people's stories. You know, I'll be among strangers and we'll ask a prompt and, you know, we wake up 90 minutes later, you know, instant friends, and it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great.
I bet. So one of the prompts in there is about a favorite obscure song.
Yeah.
That's a hard one, because, like, when you see that prompt, you're like, well, I don't know.
Well, I meant it to be things like B-sides. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, for me, like, my favorite obscure song is actually a Pearl Jam song that was only released initially as a vinyl record that they gave only to fan club members. And it's a song called Let Me Sleep. And the reason I like it is not only is it sort of, like, stripped down, but it's about insomnia, which is something I battled for years.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know that song.
No. And again, they...
I feel like my Pearl Jam knowledge is pretty good, and I don't have that one.
Well, they released it on a rarities collection, so I think you can get it on Lost Dogs. But, you know, actually, there's a Nirvana song as well, as long as we're talking about sort of like grunge era, called Penny Royalty, which
that
is...
That one I know.
All, yeah, but that's also Insomnia, and there's a line from that, you know, I'm so tired, I can't sleep.
Yeah.
And for someone, again, just all through junior high and high school, it's the reason I've seen every Star Trek episode, every Night Court episode, and every Star Trek The Next Generation episode.
High five on the Star Treks, not so much on the Night Court.
And cheers, because it played from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m.
when it was all about Nick at Night.
Yeah.
So I've probably seen every episode of My Three Sons.
And Donna Reed.
And the Patty Duke show, oh, all those. Yeah. Oh, but yeah. Perry Mason, like, that's a fine show. That's good insomnia watching.
And so was it good for you because it soothed you, or because, I mean, like, so what impact did it have?
I don't know. I just think there's something really satisfying about, like, that era of television. It was so polished and so, now we expect our sitcom characters and our television episode characters to be so real and relatable. And, you know, then it was like so formal and they were, especially Perry Mason. It was like a film noir in a small, you know, television package. It was great. And I mean, I was goth. So
yeah, I was going to say, and he never lost, or he lost like 1% of the time.
Well, there's a whole genre of viewing that really appeals to me. And it all has to do with my completely unbalanced sense of justice. Like, I think things should be fair, and I think good people should win, and I think, you know, and the world doesn't work that way.
No.
And
no.
So, like, I really love all of the things like Forensic Files.
Yeah.
And because it's procedural, but it's real, and like the smart people always win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I actually, my mother-in-law, Nancy, who I adore, so she worked in sort of like child services, and so she was often a witness. And, you know, we were talking about it actually over this last weekend, and she said something that stuck with me, and it was like, there's no such thing as justice, just good lawyers and bad lawyers.
Hmm.
Which,
I guess it's
like
fair.
Just shook me. But she saw it, you know?
I'm sure.
And there's no song to go with that, by the way.
Thank God.
Unless we want to play the Law and Order Chunk Chunk, if we can do it.
That should have a name.
But were there any songs that helped you go to sleep when you were battling insomnia?
No. I mean, now there is. Now I have, like, meditation music that I'll, like, put on. But I don't like to do it because a lot of it has, it's like the kind you have to use an earbud with to work, like with brainwaves.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, then I will pull the earbuds out in my sleep, and then I will sleep through my alarm.
Mm.
So what's my plan here? So I'll just put on like a little bit of chill background yoga music or something.
But what cured your insomnia?
Acupuncture.
Really?
Yeah.
Needles.
I was really desperate, and I was always tweeting in the middle of the night, and an acupuncturist was like, I can help you if you want to try acupuncture, come through. And I was like, I got nothing to lose. And she put a couple of needles on the top of my head and some in my ears, and I fell asleep on her table, and she just let me sleep for like 45 minutes.
Oh, that's great.
And then I slept that night, and I woke up like Snow White with birds chirping around me, like, I've had such a refreshing sleep. And then I was like, okay, fair enough, lady, you've made your case. And so I started going to her, and you know, now it's only once in a while if I'm really, really worried or stressed out or something. But no, it kind of knocked out. She took care of the migraine situation, too.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a wonder.
Yeah, for me, it's Air's first album, Moon Safari.
Oh, that's a great album.
Yeah.
That is a great album. That, to me, that is the soundtrack of a great deal of my book tour. I was driving around listening to so much of that album.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
I found it at the end of a really terrible relationship that I was ending as I was finishing that book.
Hmm.
The first draft of it, anyway. Boy, that guy was a jerk. Anyway, we're all allowed like one complete jerk, right? And that was this.
Allowed, but many of us take more.
Right, but like you're supposed to learn your lesson and be like, okay, that was stupid. Not doing that again.
Yeah, but and again, this has now turned into a relationship podcast, but or a radio show. But did you find though that, you know, even if you thought you learned your lesson, you found yourself dating much the same?
No, I've never
kind
dated
people.
No, I've never dated anyone like him.
You're that person. You're the one person who learned.
Well, and the person before him was fine. It was just like this one guy. It was like, he's kind of out of character for me, but whatever. He's really fun. We're having a nice time. And then he was a nightmare. And he was just like the crappiest boyfriend in the world. So I actually found the album through him. He had very good taste in music.
See,
and so,
well, that's why you dated him. Everybody has,
I guess, there was some redeeming quality, but sure. So I found that he introduced me to that album. And then I got rid of him.
Yeah.
And then I finished my book. And then I went on book tour. And I just needed good, chill, focus music. Because I was, I did most of the, you know, I didn't fly. I didn't have a big budget. Just so beautiful and dreamy and pretty, and it's good driving around music, but not at night, because
no.
Then you get very sleepy.
No,
and you're
no,
like
no.
You're not gonna
no yeah. there are a couple of those bands, more Chiba from the same era.
Yeah, same era.
And
what's
like,
that album
big
picture
Palm.
It no there's another one.
Oh,
something lemon Blood Like Lemonade, is that what
I don't know, but I'm gonna go buy it now because I only listen to Big Calm.
I'm pretty sure it's Blood Like Lemonade, yeah. Or something like
and
that.
And then 07, which is great.
Oh my gosh, that was all in that same time in that yeah. same little genre there.
Yeah, but 07 is the band that sort of had Sia before she was big.
That's right.
I think I saw her with that band at the Double Door, like years and years and years ago, and they were great.
So. And that's a key thing to remember, because I think people are like, oh, she came out of nowhere, she's a big pop star.
No.
She's been slugging it out for a long
and
time.
And also, like, the... I saw her, I think, at Park West before she obscured her face. So I am skeptical about the veracity of her, like, oh, I'm not going to show my face. Like, I saw you give a lovely show and you were lovely and you showed your face for 2 hours and you had wonderful crowd rapport. And so on your third album, yourself mysterious.
Fair enough. But also, like, as someone who hears from men's rights activists regularly, I get it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm choking to death over here. But
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I get the inclination to be like, can everybody just not bother me right now?
Yeah.
But you're not like really incognito with like half of your hair blonde and half of it.
Or covering your face or your back to the audience. It seemed stunty to me. It did not make me love her any less.
It's definitely stunty. That's a good word to say that. Yeah. Or a good way to say that. All right. Amy Guth and Robert Elder here talking about mixtapes of our lives, soundtracks of our lives, and all the stories that go with it. Coming up here in the 12 o'clock hour, we want to hear from you about songs that really, really define your lives, songs that meant something, songs that you fell in love to, you fell out of love to, whatever it is. We want to hear from you in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hello, it's Amy Guth and Robert Elder. We're here talking about, because of his very awesome book, about the mixtapes of our lives. Or the mixtape singular of our lives. We're talking about the mixtape of our lives, the soundtrack. What are the songs that bring back memories when you think about your life, when you think about that school dance or that thing you did, the road trip that you went on? See, I think there's music and travel. I think we could do 4 hours about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have playlists for very specific trips. One of my favorite is a playlist that I made for a trip to South Africa that I took a couple of years ago. And it was interesting that I kept running into those songs, just kind of...
Oh, because like your mind was primed to hear them?
I think so.
So you,
I mean, obviously, Africa by Toto was on that list, because I was like, I had to put that on there, because I had never been on that continent.
Yeah.
So I was very excited to go. And I stopped in Senegal on the way there, and then Ghana on the way back. And so I had to hear that. And this very beautiful moment happened, it's so hard to sleep on an aircraft. And I had specifically said, like, hey, I'm almost 6 feet tall. Please make sure I have an aisle. And I got a window next to a very large man. And I was really squished and he was sleeping and kind of flopped over on me. And I was like, I am in hell right now. Like squished between this giant man I don't know, that we do not share a language, and a window. And I was really just kind of getting antsy and ready to land in Senegal. And I put on my earbuds and I'm listening to Africa by Toto. And I look out the window and it's like a full moon and I can see the coast. this, like the Senegalese coast is right there, and it's like these orange lights, and there's a lot of beautiful white adobe architecture, and you can just kind of see the city coming into view like underneath the full moon. It was so beautiful. It's such a good song. And then...
No, my favorite part of that...
I was just lip syncing with great passion.
Who are on the webcam, that's my favorite part of the whole thing. It was you singing and dancing in your chair.
Yeah.
Please go to the webcam.
Yeah, do that right away. Then there was one day in Johannesburg, and I was in this facility. I was there to do some work. And so I was in this beautiful old building, and I had been teaching all day, and it was a break, and I was talking to one of my colleagues, and this violent thunderstorm went through, and all the peacocks that were around there like came running underneath this porch, and this kid walked by with like holding a jam box. Like, who does that right now? That happened in the 80s, not now. But this kid walks by like holding a jam box, playing that song right as the rain is clearing. And I'm just like, literal rains down in Africa. Like, that's really what's happening right now. So I feel like that song kept following me in that trip.
Yeah. No, I had, I went to, in 1999, I took a trip with my brother through Europe. And the song that, because it was a number one hit, the song that kept stalking us was Cher's Believe. Like, we could not get away from it. It was just like,
oh God,
like seemingly on the metro and seemingly all over. So, like, for better or for worse, that is the song where it stuck with. I think it was like Paris and Amsterdam and just all over. But I have a song that is more, I have a story that is more interesting
than
that.
You just threw a pen at me. Oh my God.
I gestured at you. No, so when I was fresh out of high school, so it was 1994, I went to go visit my friend Susanna in Northern California. And a bus ride, by the way, from Billings, Montana Northern California takes a little more than 24 hours. Like, it's crazy with all the stops.
About the length of the flight to South Africa.
Yes. I was, you know, sort of inexperienced, but, you know, I'd been an exchange student in Italy, so I had...
So were you dating this woman or
just
friends?
No. Just, like, okay. We met, and I was, you know, I'd never been to California, so it was an excuse to sort of reconnect. And I was on the bus, and mostly people kept to themselves. You know, there was, yes, that one guy who got on in a hospital gown.
Oh, sure. That's fine. Everything's fine.
But around San Francisco, this woman walked on who was the vision of my like high school fantasy girl. So this sort of like goth girl with like the Betty Page, you know, haircut. And
that was my friend Rachel. You would have been crazy for her.
And she had the most alluring quality of all, which is she wanted to talk to me. Like, it was just so like, wow, you know, like you just this, you know. This exotic creature.
So your type is women who will speak to you?
Who look like Betty Page, yes. And so she like sat down next to me. And the reason she sat down was because I was wearing a hat for the movie The Crow. Which I was a huge fan of the graphic novel by James O'Barr.
Again, Tom Hush is laughing at you.
Yes. I'm facing away from Tom Hush. But... it was mostly because I love that comic book. Like, it's this very interesting, like, deeply romantic, deeply disturbing book. And the movie has a really amazing soundtrack. It's got Rage Against the Machine. It's got, I think, Nine Inch Nails doing a Joy Division cover. It's got all of this amazing stuff on it. And this woman, this goth Betty Page, sat down next to me and had showed me, like, a tape that she had made with Brandon Lee on the cover. And Brandon Lee played the Crow.
Yeah,
And famously, he died.
I would say that's what killed him.
Yeah, he died during the making of that film in an accident with a prop gun, and so you know, as we're sitting there and talking, and I'm you know, inexperienced, but I'm sort of like, you know, am I supposed to make a move? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I but she's like sitting close, you know, and in fact, at a certain point, she goes back to like her original seat and sort of touches my shoulder and is like, oh, hey, you know, we'll talk some more. So you know, the trip goes on and I, you know, sort of fall asleep with, you know, that sort of warm feeling of a woman waiting to talk to you.
Sure.
And, you know, and so I sort of wake up because the bus has stopped and I'm confused because Goth Betty is now being escorted off the bus. And I was like, what's going on? I was sort of like confused, but heartbroken at the same sure. time. And later I find out at the next stop that she had OD'd in the bathroom.
Oh.
And had to be escorted out.
That'll do it.
Thus setting the template for all women who were attracted to me for the next 10 years.
Would overdose?
Just there was something a little off. So the Stone Temple Pilots' Big Empty, like, because that's on that soundtrack,
yeah.
reminds me of that trip and of that time and of Goth Betty.
Driving faster.
Such a good song.
I just love watching you sing it. Like everybody has to, like, you know, watch the webcam.
I'm known to sing along to all the things, or dance along, or one of the two, You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, like, what set a tone for any relationships of mine? I don't think there has. I couldn't really do that, but there was a brief stretch. Do you remember the song "Confetti" by the Lemonheads?
I remember it's a really Shame About Ray. That's about all I remember.
Right. Yeah. This was equally kind of like rock pop thing mm-hmm. that was going on there. It was not grunge. It was kind of the era of grunge.
Yeah.
But it was a fringe to that because it was way too pop music-y to be grunge. But that song has tragic lyrics. And I feel like probably three or four gentlemen in a row kind of fit that, because the lyrics are something like, he kind of should have, sort of would have loved her if he could have, the story's getting closer to the end, he kind of should have, would have loved her if he could have, he'd rather be alone than pretend, something like just kind of like three or four little romances that were like intense and lovely and suddenly like, just kind of peace out, ghosting kind of thing before we said that word,
before we
called things ghosts. And so I remember hearing that song at one point and going like, that's exactly what's going on here. And then it happened a couple of times. I was like, Lemonheads, you.
Stop looking into my life.
Stop being the thing here. Well, right.
So that, but that reminds me of like there's an REM song kind of like that. It's Don't Go Back to Rockville.
Oh, yeah.
And the lyric that always gets me there, it's... it's not as if I really need you. If you were here, I'd only leave you.
Ugh.
Like just crushing songs. Did you have a song that, I don't know, helped you through a breakup? Like was sort of soothing and medication for you?
No, I call that bourbon whiskey to help me through a breakup.
Who sang that?
Me. No, I don't think so. I mean, you know what? It's funny because when I'm getting into a relationship, I think it's so satisfying to just sit around and listen to music together and just talk about songs and just like put on a playlist and just sit there and talk. I think that's such a lovely thing to do. But similarly, I think that's what's at the end too. You're just doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
You're sitting there kind of listening, you know, listening to music and just kind of, I mean, I feel like not with an actual relationship, but when rock stars have died, I've needed to, like the night that Leonard Cohen died, I cried real tears for him and David Bowie.
Yeah.
I cried real tears for Leonard Cohen. And then there was a song that when he died, I just sat there like listening to it on repeat late. And I was like 2 a.m. and I just had to sit there and listen to it over and over because I just needed to just sit there and just hear it. And I like felt like, even though I didn't know the man, I feel like, you know, he played a role.
And what's the song?
We're going to talk about that when we come back. All about it. Back in just a bit, Amy Guth and Rob Elder talking about the soundtrack of our lives here on WGN on 720. Back in just a bit.
A thousand times.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Oh, who's dancing now, Rob Elder? It's a beautiful song. It's a dated one. Hello. But it's a fine song. Is it me you're looking for? Play it. I can see it in your eyes. We are talking about the soundtrack of our lives and beautiful songs. In particular, right before the break, we were talking about what is the song or the band you just cannot even listen to anymore because you got your heart broken around that song, drop kicked over that song, something like that. Feel free if you would like to share such heartbreak and despair with us, 312-981-7200. We would love to chat with you if you're awake and feeling like sharing. Tom Hush, do you have such a song that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, very much so.
Tell us. So, first of all, I don't know who would ever break your heart, because shame on her.
It was not her fault at the end of the day. These things happen.
That's the most Tom Hush thing ever said.
I'm sorry. It's the truth, you know, right. and we're still good friends to this day. Right. But at the time, it felt like the end of the world, obviously. Sure. But it was this girl I was seeing when I was a junior in high school, and she was a sophomore.
Okay.
And, you know, we just hit it off really well. And one of the things that we both enjoyed a lot was music, obviously, you know. And I actually, my move at that point, because making a mixtape became like really kitschy and fun and slightly romantic, but I didn't have a tape deck, so I made her a mix CD.
Yeah, you did.
And she was like so impressed. She's like, oh my God, this is the best thing anybody's ever done for me. And we had only been dating for like a week. And I'm like, hey, I made you this mix CD. And I tried to put stuff that I really liked, but also tried to pick stuff that she really liked. And we had a great time. But the reason it all came crashing down and why it hurt so much was she broke up with me. Like, I had asked her to prom. She said yes. And then literally, like, less than a week before prom.
Come on.
I had not bought the tickets yet, thank God. But less than a week before prom, she ends it with me at her locker. She did the whole thing where it's like, hey, let's go for a walk down the hall together. And she's like, it's really just, it's not you. It's just not really working
just
out for me.
Going through some things.
Did she play Lionel Richie? Did she play God, that? Was that it?
What was the song
was the
that,
song?
Like...
So the song was this band that we both really liked, again, young millennials, was Neutral Milk Hotel.
Aww.
And the song was The King of Carrot Flowers, Part 1.
That's a sweet song.
And I've eventually gotten past it, but I used to be super into this song, and now I don't really listen to it at all. And I can't listen to Neutral Milk Hotel all that much anymore because it is just so unbelievably painful.
When you were young, you were the king of carrot flowers, and how you built a tower tumbling through the trees in holy rattlesnakes that fell all around your feet. And your mom would stick a fork right into daddy's shoulder.
That's such a beautiful song.
And the lyrics make no sense.
Like, well, there's that. But it's so sweet and pretty.
I'm so not a lyrics person. Lyrics are cool, but it sounded like the brief amount of time she and I spent together.
Yeah. You know what's funny about, you were talking about like the move of making the mixtape. Now, I think it's less than a move. In fact, I would say this. Someone made a Spotify playlist for me. Like,
recently,
we were going to hang out. Mm-hmm. And it was presented in such a nonchalant way. I did not realize that that's what he had done until a bit later.
And so how'd that go?
Well, I loved it. I thought it was lovely. I mean, it's a lovely playlist still. But it was just kind of like, I put some stuff in here I thought you might like. And I was like, oh, that was nice of you. And then later I was like, oh my God, he kind of totally made me a mixtape.
So my friend Janine Schultz, she has a theory about mixtapes and giving mixtapes. And she says that
is esteemed journalist Janine Schultz.
Yes. She has a theory that if somebody gives you a mixtape or a Spotify playlist, mm-hmm. that the third song
on that list or on that mixtape or on that CD is the real message. So what's the third song?
I have to go.
Can we look it up?
Because not here. No, I mean, I guess I could. I do have Spotify on my phone, but no, we're not going to do that.
No, but you mentioned before, Leonard Cohen. What was the song you had to listen to?
Waiting for the Miracle. Waiting for the Miracle by Leonard Cohen. When he died, I just put that on repeat, and I just sat on my couch, and I'm not even kidding. I like lit a candle. I was like, safe passage, man. And I just kind of like had to sit there and listen to that song and repeat over and over and over, because it's so beautiful and it's so gutting. And I don't know, something about his voice. It's same with like Tom Waits. Just there's something gravelly and gutting and lovely about them.
Yeah. And Leonard Cohen actually helped me through not personally, he did not help me through a
breakup.
He called
you up and gave you a pep talk. Yes, buddy, yes. You're going to make it.
He gave me some Canadian wisdom. But no, like there was, it's actually from earlier in his career, before he is so deep voiced and gravelly, Sisters of Mercy. And there's like a whole section of the song that I think, Tom, do you have it queued up? That just spoke to me and literally helped me through a breakup.
Who was it? What happened? What did she do to you?
It just didn't work, you know? Like it's entirely possible to be in love, but to be completely incompatible.
You must leave everything that you cannot control. It begins with your family, but soon it comes round to your soul. Well, I've been where you're hanging.
I mean, the thing with that, like early Leonard Cohen, mm-hmm. and that song in particular, it feels like a little bit of, you know, I don't know, the bells make it seem a little whimsical and not painful. It's like a pretty little happy song, but it doesn't feel like it can stir the feelings.
See, for me, it was sort of like more about the breakup I wanted to have rather than the breakup I was having. I mean, in the last line is just so haunting.
Create your own breakup.
And it's sort of like, you know, when you're not feeling holy, your loneliness says that you've sinned. And again, just that song, and I played before we actually came here, there's a version that, there's a cover version that Sting does with the Chieftains that's really, really great.
Oh, I bet that's good.
Oh, so good.
We haven't even talked about, like, Sting. We haven't even talked about, like, our favorites.
Okay.
I mean, me, Police, Sting, Morrissey, Smiths, Wu-Tang, so many things. But speaking of, I didn't even put this caller up to this, but yet we have a caller. Tracy, you have a song. You have a Police song you want to share.
Amy, how are you?
Hi.
It's good to hear you again.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
It's good to hear you. You know, Amy, there are a lot of soundtracks of our live songs that I really like. There are just too many of them, but one I particularly like is the Police Zenyatta Mandata album. Yeah,
that's a great album.
And there are every song, every track on there is the best. But two of my favorite songs is Demolition Man by the Police and When the World is Running Down.
That's a great song. I was just going to say, that's got that great song.
Yeah.
I would say Driven to Tears and When the World is Running Down.
But
you're right, because that is one of those albums where every song is the best. Because like, if you're looking at, because that's got Behind My Camel, that's got Man in a Suitcase. That's got The Other Way of Stopping. Like, there's so much good stuff on that.
Is it wrong of
me? It really is.
Is it wrong of me that I remember Demolition Man not from that album, but from the remake he did for the Demolition Man movie with Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone?
Yes, it is.
There's also they also have another great album, Ghost in the Machine.
Another good one.
Those are some classics. I always used to listen to them years ago when I'm driving on the expressway on 35th Street on the Dan Ryan going to Sox Park. I always put a cassette of the Police in there on the track, and it just puts me in a good mood, a good feeling on my way to the ballpark.
Nice. You've just mentioned two things I love, and that is the Police and the White Sox. Thanks so much for the call, Tracy. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you. You too, Amy. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too. All right. We're going to take a little break. Amy Guth and Robert Elder in on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Amy Guth and Rob Elder here. We're talking about the soundtrack of our lives, and we're hoping to hear from you about the soundtrack of your lives. What is the song that you got on a mixtape, or the song that you got your first kiss to, or that you got your heart broken to, or that you did something super awesome to? We want to hear about what that song is, or a mixtape that was made for you, something like that. We want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Let us go to Scott. You remember a mix CD that you got?
No, I remember I reunited with my high school sweetheart about 6 years ago. Aww. And eventually, through the first few months, I made her 5 CDs that were like mixtapes.
Nice.
But the first one that I made, and I gave it to her the first time we saw each other again, and I said, these songs have always reminded me of you. And the first 3 songs, were Against All Odds by Phil Collins, okay. I'll Be Over You by Toto.
Nice.
And the Juice Newton song, Love's Been a Little Bit Hard on Me.
Oh, that's great. Ah, I love that.
But according to the theory, the Janine Shouts theory, it's the third song. That's what you really mean to say.
Actually, the first 2 songs are the ones that really meant a lot to me, because Against All Odds is like losing someone, and it's against the odds that you'll ever get back together. But eventually we did.
That's so nice. And she was your high school sweetheart?
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts. We went our separate ways, and 36 years later, we reunited.
Oh, my gosh. That's so nice. And you're still together?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got married in Hawaii last April.
That's lovely. Scott, thank you for the call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
How nice.
That is the best use of Against All Odds. Like that,
I know.
Like, that is officially my favorite Against All Odds song story.
Ever. Right.
Yeah.
Top that, someone else with an Against All Odds story, because you're not going to be able to do it. There's no way you can do that. Let's talk to William. Hi, William. You have a story about a song for us?
Oh, not a song. I first heard the Chieftains from the soundtrack from the movie The Gray Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The music was beautiful, and I tracked it down, and I was all in on the Chieftains after that. I think I bought every album from everything they made, and, from then on. And I have a lot of albums, like real albums of them. And they're awesome. The most awesome music I've ever heard in my life. Another aside, I heard a commercial once, a Guinness commercial, and the music was so beautiful, I had to track it down. Guess who it was?
The Chief.
The Saw Doctors.
Oh, really?
Huh.
Oh, the Saw Doctors. And I tracked them down, and I got all their albums, and I saw them at the Metro like 10 years ago, you know?
That's so
cool. It was awesome.
I know. I feel like I Google music and commercials all the time because they're always so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm a
William. Yeah. Thank you so much for the call.
Great.
I really appreciate it.
Hey,
that's so. I'm like, it's. I'm always doing. I'm always like, music in herpes ad commercial. Like, it's always a drug ad with these beautiful songs. I'm like, what does that drug do? And then I Google the commercial song.
What channel are you watching?
I don't know. Whatever's on. I got to watch Seinfeld and then whatever. There's a lot of like direct-to-consumer drug marketing things happening at that hour. So it's a lot of like...
I want to switch up, and as long as we're talking about sickness, so
sure.
Are there any songs that remind you of sickness or being sick? And I bring that up because my wife is texting me that my little girl is up with 102 temperature, so she's listening to us
right
now.
Bear.
So hello, Eva. How are you, sweetheart?
Apparently not well is the answer to that.
No. I mean, is there something?
You know what? I was about to say no, and then I just remembered one. I one time had to go to the emergency room. I was very, very sick. And I remember that The Heat Is On by Glenn Frey was like on in the emergency room.
When you had a temperature?
Yes. And like, yeah, I just remember like sitting there thinking, I'm going to die. I want to die. This is terrible. And hearing over and over, like, The Heat Is On, just keep playing.
That awful, like, sax solo, or that sax part that you just cannot get away from.
Can't even. And then, like, there it is.
That's a great cue, Tom.
Imagine, you're in an ER. and that's what you're hearing. Terrible. Ugh. And then I feel like they were playing like the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, that Axel F song.
Oh, yeah.
That was just words.
Herbie Hancock.
That just made people walk around singing it for a long time.
From Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
That's great.
That song was on also in the ER, and I was just like, someone please let me die right now. This is terrible. Let me die right away. Right away. Let's talk about concerts.
Okay.
What was your first concert?
If I was going to be cool, I would say, like, I saw Aerosmith and Skid Row opened up for them, and it was great.
I have seen both of those bands.
Which is true. But really, if I'm 100% honest, it was really the Escape Club.
Yes. It's saying Wild Wild West.
Yeah, Wild Wild West. Yeah, and they had a second song that was actually really great called I'll Be There. But I saw them, you know, like at the Metro Park, you know, Billings, Montana Metro Park, like the county fair. And it was in like an arena that was way too big for them.
Aww,
that's sad. And I couldn't go down to the floor because I had my brother with me who was not old enough. So we had to watch them from like the side balcony.
Even though there were empty seats on the floor? That's very sad.
Well, not just the floor. Like imagine a place where you have a rodeo. Mm-hmm. So a giant arena and they're playing to, you know, 200 people.
Bless their hearts. It's like the time a couple of years ago that Dokken played like at a county fair in the far west suburbs. Mm. And it was apparently kind of awkward. Well, we've got another caller. Hi, Bill. You're on WGN. There's a song that makes you think and brings up all the feels.
Well, I will date you people. I'm 78 years old, so I'm going to go way back to 1960. I liked all the 50s and 60s music. But my wife and I, well, before we were married, in the New Year's Eve of 60, 61, we came to Chicago, went to Aragon Ballroom, and when he said In the Mood earlier, it reminded me of it because that was one of our favorite songs, Glenn Miller, because Tex Beneke was directing at that time. And we was dancing In the Mood, doing the swing dance, and we got finished, and Tex Beneke asked us to come on stage, and they played the song we danced on stage.
Aww.
Oh, that's great.
That's so cool. What a nice memory.
Right. You know, of course, she died a year ago, but I mean, But anyway, that was our favorite song for all years. In the Mood. Every time I come on, we think about the New Year's Eve of 60-61, just before we got married.
Aw, Bill, that's such a sweet story. Well, I'm glad that you have that song, like, in that nice memory wrapped up in that song to remember.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I date you people in my several years.
Maybe
the music you're playing and thinking about that you really like, it's like, okay, I don't remember those. I don't remember those.
Well,
because all mine was in the late 50s, early 60s, you know, in the big band era stuff.
Sure. So, well, thank you so much for the call, Bill. That's such a sweet story.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good night. Oh, that's so sweet. You know, my grandparents, their song was Rhapsody in Blue.
Oh, yeah.
And my grandfather, he died in February. And now when I always thought it was a sweet song to hear that. But, you know, now it's even, you know, my grandmother doesn't really remember why she loves that song.
Yeah.
And because she's only here in body, not really in mind. But my grandfather's gone. And so, like, listening to that song now is a whole different level of stuff. So
are there any songs that make you cry?
Oh, pick a day. Yeah, sure, all the time.
I want to pick an artist. What recently?
Well, the Tom Waits song that we were discussing, like that's still like Waiting for the Miracle. Like that song can Leonard Cohen.
Waiting for the Miracle.
Yeah, that song can get the feels. But you know what? Actually, I was like looking through a playlist getting ready for tonight, like thinking of all the songs that I thought things about. And I was really thinking about David Bowie, who I just loved David Bowie so much and still do, and get so much joy from his music. But I remember that last, like the day he died, and that song Lazarus. Mm. Oh my gosh. And I had to listen to it. And I got a little verklempt. I'm not going to lie. Because in that song, you know, he is creating work, coming to terms with his own death as he is creating that song and those words, and like you're hearing the like artistic process.
Yeah.
I'm not getting choked up. I'm just
Well, you know, there are a bunch of artists I think who sort of you know struggle with that as well. And oh wait, let's listen.
The song is so beautiful. Well, I'm choking to death. Oh, that song is so beautiful.
I'm in heaven.
That part, yeah. He knows he's dying and he's coming to terms with it. It's beautiful. I've got scars. It's not making me cry now. I'm just like choking to death because I'm choking to death on water and a cough drop. But anyway, I think that song is lovely. What about you? What song makes you cry?
I'm a Stone.
I don't know that song.
No. I personally am a Stone.
You personally are a Stone. Yeah, and don't cry.
Bull. Well, it's not that I don't cry. It's that I'm caught off guard by songs. Like it's not like there's one that sort of rests tears for me. You know, I dated a lovely woman who cried every time Terry Jack's Seasons in the Sun comes.
No, come on. Yeah. What makes you cry about that song?
Hey, Papa, it's time to die.
I guess.
Hey, Amy, can I throw in a couple of...
Roger, please. I insist that you do.
Oh, well, thank you. One of them is, and this happened when I first saw this report on this singer, a number of years ago, it was on ABC Late Night after the Nightline News, and I'd never heard of her before, and I cannot hear this song without crying within the first 30 seconds.
Don't say Wind Beneath My Wings.
Nope.
Okay.
Eva Cassidy, Over the Rainbow.
Oh.
She performed this while she was dying of cancer. In a nightclub, they asked her to, it was a fundraiser, and she performed these songs, and she died about a month after the recordings. She was a musician in Washington, D.C. area, and unheard of nationwide until after her passing, and ABC did this special on her. I cannot hear this, seriously. I cannot hear the song without sobbing incoherently.
Well, we don't want you to do that right now.
Well, I mean, it's a beautiful song. I don't know if you'd want to play part of it or not.
Well, right now we got to go to news.
Oh, that's true.
But I'm an old.
And then Rock and Roll Lullaby. Which is an old song. I don't cry as uncontrollably at that, but it brings tears to my eyes, and they're not related to anything except the song.
Yeah, that's interesting. They're just like a moving song for you.
Yeah, extremely moving. Yeah. The vocal, the musicality of it,
I'm that way about opera. Like, I don't necessarily need to have an association with it, but I've gone to great lengths to see a lot of operas, and I just love them. And I'll just sit there and just, oh, they're so beautiful. But we have got to take a break and then go to news because it's that time. So back in just a bit here in 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hello, it's Amy Guth and Robert Elder. And we're talking about the soundtrack of our lives and your lives. Thank you to everyone who's called and sent tweets and texts and all that good stuff. We appreciate them all. So yeah, we're talking about songs that have deep meaning for us or that have like a weird story attached to it or something like that. And, I feel like we've just scratched the surface here. Like there's so many songs I've been thinking about all day knowing we would be talking about this. And I'm looking at my list. I'm like, we didn't talk about that. Didn't talk about that. Didn't talk about that.
Well, and I actually just got a text from a friend, Eitan, and he tells this great story. He says, as an ultra nerd at the UFC in the 1980s, I wore out the Greg Allman record I'm No Angel, which played over and over again while I studied Chaucer and Dostoevsky. My theme song should have been I Have No Girlfriend, but somehow Greg Allman's image of a rock and roller cad carried me through that time. And then he quotes, so I might steal your diamonds, but I'll bring you back some gold.
Nice. But kudos to being able to study with lyrics.
Yeah.
I cannot.
Yeah, there's a lot of more... Well, no. Air and Morcheeba have a few lyrics.
Very few.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're kind of background-y, you know?
Yeah. No, I wrote for years to like Orbital Records because it was all, you know, EDM stuff.
You know what? So right before the Saturday night special, I always like write the monologue to open the show with. And I have my brain trained to the second it hears Precious by Depeche Mode, it starts writing that monologue. Yeah. That's what I listen to. Like, I can just put it on and just like put it on repeat over and over. And I put on my earbuds and I can just like bang out writing that monologue really, really fast because I've just like taught my brain to do that.
Mm.
So, yeah, so that works. Another good writing music is the soundtrack of the Social Network.
Oh, really? Oh, because that's Trent Reznor.
It's Trent Reznor.
And Atticus.
Uh-huh.
Something. Right. Finch. Atticus Finch?
Both of you spoke at the same time. It's not Finch. What'd
Ross.
You say?
Atticus Ross.
Yeah, not Finch. Ross.
not,
totally different
not,
thing.
Not, yeah, not to To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right. Definitely not Trent Reznor and that guy. Yeah, so that's good writing music. And then, I don't know, I tend to write to like a lot of dreamy, lyric-less things or lyrics I don't understand, like in another language or something. Like the Buena Vista Social Club soundtrack is excellent to write to. I wrote the whole first draft of, or second draft of my novel to that.
Yeah, that's great. There's a band called the Paris Combo that I love, which is sort of like hot jazz, 1920s style, but it's modern.
Mm-hmm.
And again, don't understand the lyrics, easier to write to. You're right.
Well, it helps. Because if the lyrics are really good, it, I think, influences the writing, which sometimes is great.
Yeah.
Because the first draft of that book was written Last Good Day of the Year by Cousteau, which is a very beautiful song. But I can tell sentences where a certain line has like woven itself into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Also, I go back and like read parts of that, and I'm like, did I write that? I don't even remember writing that.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
It's like Stephen King in The Shining. He doesn't really actually remember writing it.
He doesn't?
Because he was a deep alcoholic.
Oh, well, I was not. I don't know. You go into a mode when you're writing fiction. I think it's different than reporting and writing nonfiction. So where shall we go next? Let's go. We were starting to go to concerts.
Well, I want to know, not just concerts, but... So we were both journalists. We still are both journalists.
Yeah. We were.
Yeah, we still, you know, paid to be curious. Best
That's
job
right.
in the world.
It is.
We started talking about meeting one of your favorite artists.
Yeah.
And so I know you are deeply in love with Morrissey.
I'm not in love with him. I just admire him. I recognize he does not. We're not on the same team. So you, I'm not in love with him in that way.
Yes. But if you had to pick Morrissey and the Smiths, like they're your team.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're, you know, an alternative rock station opened in Texas, in North Texas, where I lived, at a time when all of a sudden I turned on the radio and I was like, wait, there's more of me out there. Right? And I heard the Smiths and I heard Psychedelic Furs and all this great stuff, and I was like, hold up, wait a minute, because it was like top 40 or country or religious music, and I was just like, no.
And all of a sudden Ned's Atomic Dustbin came on.
And I was like, what's happening right now? This is good and cool. And it helped me, like, I started hearing about when shows were, and it helped me find my people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the Smiths have played a big role. But yeah, I met Morrissey, and by meet him, I mean he was in a, I have not told you this story. No, I feel like I've told this story a dozen times.
No, I want to hear it.
Poor Tom has heard this story many times. Anyway, he was in a record shop in New York City. He was looking at a CD that I own. It was Squeeze singles, 45s and under. Yeah. It has like Black Coffee in Bed and all that great stuff. Mm-hmm. Pulling Muscles from a Show. He's like standing there looking at it, which the first thought was, why doesn't Morrissey have that CD already? That seems like one he would have.
Mm-hmm.
But then my second thought is like, I'm just going to be all cool, nonchalant, and just like sort of work my way over there and then be like, oh man, that's a good CD. You should get it. It's real good. Oh, what's up? You're Morrissey. I mean, that's my big plan. Right. Nothing goes according to plan. I get over there to him and I'm just going to like casually like reach out my fingertip and like tap the edge of the CD and be like, oh, cool CD. Oh, hey, it's you. Like, that's my plan. But my finger kind of like, I panic. I freeze. Like, so I'm just pointing, like hovering a couple of inches above the CD that he's holding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like E.T. and Elliot. I'm just like pointing at him, and then I have no ability to speak, and he's looking at me like, what in the hell is your problem? And I let out a noise that is like a pterodactyl. Like, the only thing, I'm going to push away from the microphone and make the noise that I made. I like looked at him, and then I went, ah! I made that noise, and then I just sort of like, and I like put out my hand to just like make the scene stop, like as if I was giving him the hand. And then I just ran, tried to run out of there, but there was like a cardboard display, and I ran into it, and I got my foot stuck in it, and I was like on the ground, and I was horrified. It was very bad. Exactly, Tom Hush. Such a good song.
What was the cardboard display that you got stuck in? Please say it's Squeeze.
No. I don't know what it was. It was just some random. I have no idea. I should have looked. Yeah. Now my brother's theory was like, so you didn't hear Morrissey speak. He did not speak to you.
Yeah.
So he's like, that was probably just some dude from like Alabama or somewhere that just like looked like Morrissey. And so years later, I was about to interview him.
Mm-hmm.
My editor heard this story and pulled it and went and did the interview himself.
What?
Because he just thought that would like freak out Morrissey. So I redeemed myself finally. Just a few years ago, I went to Nashville for my birthday because he was touring. And the thing about Morrissey is when he goes on tour, you do not wait for him to come to your city.
Mm.
You go to one of the first five tour dates because he cancels. He does not do his whole tour.
He can't make it through.
He can't hang. So I go to Nashville. He's playing the Ryman Auditorium, which was very awesome. Not a lot of Morrissey fans in Nashville, as it turns out.
Really?
So getting front row center tickets was unbelievably simple to do.
Hmm.
And so there I was. And at all Morrissey shows, there's a lot of men who do their hair exactly like him and flood the stage.
It's a lot of product. A
lot of hair product. So in come the guys with the pompadour hairdo. And I'm like, oh, no, you are not taking my space. And I was getting real aggressive about being in the front of the stage. And at one point, Morrissey just, like, reached out and high-fived me. And I was like, okay, we're good. Like, it's all worked out.
Did you make the pterodactyl noise all the way through the concert?
I mean, even if I would have, he wouldn't have heard me. There was very loud speakers there at the Ryman Auditorium. But, yeah.
I have nothing that good. But, so I loved in high school, and still love now, so the band Tool.
Sure.
So, Maynard James Keenan, and when I was a young...
Wait, I have a theory. Do you also like Insane Clown Posse?
No.
No. You're wrecking my theory.
No, go ahead. See, here's the thing. I've seen Tool so much to recognize that I love Tool, but I dislike Tool fans.
Oh, right. That's where I'm going with
this. Okay. It's, you know, so anyway, no, but I love those first three records in particular. And so when I had the chance to interview Maynard James Keenan for his side project, A Perfect Circle, and I love the song Judith. So whenever I hear it, I always think of this. I prepared. And, you know, we talked on the phone. And it went just as poorly as you can imagine because I sort of overprepared and sure. I sort of said, you know, hey, Maynard, you know, you've described Tool as this sort of like, you know, left brain masculine thing and A Perfect Circle is, you know, this right brain feminine. So, you know, so with that in mind, what have you learned about your feminine side?
Oh, boy. How'd that go?
Oh, my God.
What'd he say to that?
He was like, that's sort of a personal question. And I said, well, you know, Maynard, you know, music is nothing if not personal.
To which he said?
Exactly what you're saying right now. It's just like dead air. Like, there was no banter. There was no rapport. And again, like, this is a guy who I just sort of adore. Like, he could, you know, I had a friend who said, like, he could just breathe and sound cool. You know, like, this is such a strong, you know, fragile voice inside this metal band.
Right.
And, you know, just we did not find a level.
And so has that changed your feelings about the band?
No. All right. I mean, you and I have done enough interviews with folks who are celebrities to know, and I just don't take it personally anymore. I don't, you know, it's not their job always to be in a good mood.
Thank you.
I can see the road trip value there, but I didn't get Tool. I don't get it.
Again, for me, it is not only just their production aesthetic. So a couple of those guys came from like movie backgrounds. I think they were doing special effects on like horror movies, and okay. I think Terminator 2. So I loved all of the album artwork and whatnot.
Yeah.
But for me, it's really his voice. It's that voice, that fragile masculine voice against that deep bass. And they've since gone on to be kind of, you know, when they do put out an album, they've been sort of more prog rocky, you know, with 7, 8, 9 minute songs. But I prefer, you know, those really sharp singles. And in fact, so Judith, the song we just played from A Perfect Circle, is about his mother who spent much of her life paralyzed. And it's him sort of coming to grips with her faith, because she was, you know, she had this very deep faith, and he thought, you know, you've been abandoned by this figure that you adore. And he doesn't have to talk to me after that, you know.
Fair enough. Amy Guth and Rob Elder here talking about music and the music that has, you know, made all the feels happen in our lives. Thank you to everybody who's called or sent a text or a tweet. We are going to take a little break and continue this conversation here in just a bit on 720 WGN.
Are you ready? How's your lawn looking? What are you going to do about those bugs in and outside your home? Your windows, your garage, your mower. A homeowner's work is never done. And if you have any questions and you need a little guidance, call me, Lou Manfredini. House Smarts Radio is live every Saturday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. right here on 720 WGN.
House Smarts Radio with Lou. Sponsored by Ace, the helpful place. And Lou's brought to you every week by Belden Leaf Guard. Never have clogged gutters again with Belden Leaf Guard. Call for a free in-home estimate. 833-4-BELDEN.
Since 1955, Blaine's Farm and Fleet has earned the trust of farmers and Midwest families by offering great brands at honest prices. Everything we sell is carefully chosen to ensure you're getting top quality with every brand you buy. Like a Stable Pro Plus Clipper Kit from Wahl. It's lightweight, durable, and cool running. On sale, $79.99. Save 15% on Weaver leather show supplies, including shampoos, brushes, and halters. Provide rapid control of flies and other flying insects with FarmGuard Farm and Dairy Fly Spray, a 16-ounce aerosol can, just $8.99. And check out our huge selection of Absorbine Ultra Shield fly and insect control products designed to protect your horse all day long. They start at $12.99. For superior products, trust the experts at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. And remember, you can always use our fast and easy drive-through service. Just pull up, place your order, and we'll have you loaded up and on your way in no time. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Many refer to the gut as your second brain, so go with that gut reaction. That is, if your gut is healthy. If you're having gas, bloating, indigestion, or constipation, that's not good. Natron Probiotics can help boost your immunity, keep you regular, and promote colon health like no other probiotics. A healthy gut means a healthy you. For over 35 years, Natron has been researching and making probiotics in their state-of-the-art facility in California. Their brains are focused on making the highest quality, result-producing probiotics that are safe and effective for the entire family. Others promise, Natron delivers. Now here's a no-brainer. Feel the Natron difference yourself, and for a limited time, get your 30-day supply of Natron's Famous Healthy Trinity at a 50% savings off the regular price. We can assure you that this amazing offer has never been made available before. To get your Healthy Trinity, just text the word Wendy to 246810. Text Wendy to 246810.
Messages and data rates may apply. Texting enrolls for recurring messages.
WGN. It's Amy Guth, and I love this song so much that's playing right now. I'm here with Rob Elder, and we're talking about songs that have played a big role in our lives, that like meant something, it was like a soundtrack to a moment or something. I don't know that that song is necessarily a soundtrack of my life kind of song, although it would be on the soundtrack of like, what was Amy Guth doing in high school? Driving around listening to that song. But it is an awesome song nonetheless. I think it's time for us to do like a lightning round of song like stories.
Sure. Well, I just want to know, like, what album are you most likely to give as a gift and why?
I would never do that to anybody. Because it's none of my business what goes in your ears. Now,
we've just been on the radio for 2 hours.
I know. But like, I feel like that's really personal.
Yeah.
I think that's up there with like buying someone underwear. That's real personal.
So you wouldn't like buy a CD wrapped in underwear, is what you're saying?
No.
No.
But if I was going to give someone a CD, I mean, it would have to be like we had a conversation about something and someone was like, I don't know, if I heard it, I don't know. I cannot imagine what it.
But even something that you would want to turn people onto, and again, I'm asking this because I also have an answer. So I would buy the Abbey Road.
No.
For the Beatles.
No, I got Beatles issues. No.
And Tricky's Max and Quay. Like, it's just an album I don't think enough people know.
Okay.
No, you're not there? You're not with me?
No. I mean, I think if I was just going to, like, straight up... Here are the two mixes I have offered to get... There was a guy that I met not long ago at an event. I was there with as my friend's plus one, and we were sitting at this table, and this guy was like, I don't know. I never really got the appeal of the Smiths. I was like, I'm making you a playlist, and I didn't even know this man, and he was probably like, whatever, weirdo. But I'm like, I made a playlist. I have a playlist on Spotify anyway, but I kind of curated it a little bit, and I, like... Give me your card. I'm going to mail this to you. And I like have this because I was just like, you need to understand. I will like tell you the Smith songs.
Yeah, you're right. It really is none of your business what is in other people's ears.
Stop.
It's none of your business.
I would say I would make someone a Smiths playlist to introduce them. Like here's what you need to know about the Smiths, or here's what you need to know about Wu-Tang. Okay. One of the two. Love them both so much.
But what do I need to know about Wu-Tang?
You just need to listen to these songs in this way, and you, I'm sure, will love the Wu, is what I'm saying to you.
All right.
What about you? What would you give?
I want to know what your objection to Max and Quay is.
I don't have an objection.
Not feeling it?
No.
Okay, what's your objection to the Beatles then? What are your Beatles issues?
Oh, my God. They just all sound the same to me. They just sound like... I know that's a very unpopular opinion. That's
not just unpopular, just untrue.
I admire, not admire, that's too strong a word. I get, and it's like, great, you guys evolved and took, like, you made it through many eras. Not many people can do that. Madonna has done that. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. There was a lot of other music going on. And when people think of that particular time, like when people go, what was happening musically in 1964, 1965? People are like, oh, the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan. White people doing things. Like, I was like, there's so much happening in the world that was just beyond the Beatles. And I think they get a lot of credit that should be spread out with some other bands.
See, now there's also a theory.
I guarantee you, I bet you $50, I will get trolled and someone will say something extremely mean and personal and probably very sexual to me for saying that. I guarantee you.
Now you're just asking them to do it. But
it happens daily. This is daily. Like, say something unpopular. Be like, I don't really like spaghetti. They'll be like, you should get murdered. Yeah.
But I think it's there's a theory, actually. So there's a book by the guy who wrote Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. His name is Chuck Klosterman. But his latest book is really great. It's called What If We're Wrong? And the subtitle is Thinking About the Future Like It's the Past. And he thinks...
I read that.
He has this whole thing where he says, well, you know, for a while in popular music... marching music, mm-hmm. big band marching music, mm-hmm. was like the biggest thing. Like,
sure.
It sold all the sheet music. You know. However, who do we remember from that era? John Philip Sousa.
Yeah.
And no one else.
Right.
So he has this theory that's backed up by a couple of folks that if and when rock and roll goes away,
mm-hmm.
only the Beatles will be remembered.
Oh, God. I gotta go. I gotta leave. Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, John Philip Sousa, like, in that kind of context, he's like the Justin Bieber of the time. Like, what was immensely popular and who was, like, this big star of it.
But it's not, and that's not immensely popular, because it's not always the most popular thing that sticks.
As an aside, there's a Chicago Tribune march.
Really?
Yes.
Not by Sousa.
I don't know.
No, we don't care.
I don't know, but it is a Chicago Tribune march, and two ex-Tribune employees sitting here, I feel like we need to know that. What... In like the minute that we have left before we got to run, what is your go-to karaoke song? It's a big, big crowded bar. You get one. Go.
Hungry Like the Wolf, Duran Duran.
Yes. Tom Hush. What is your karaoke song?
I've done it multiple times. Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division.
Oh my God, I would love to do karaoke with you guys. That'd be so awesome. Those are great songs for karaoke. Mine, to get the crowd going when it's kind of like in that in-between phase where people are just starting to show up and not quite drunk enough to dance yet. Like as soon as I see them start, like, okay, they're ready to dance, I'll get in there with Material Girl by Madonna and like break that open.
I love
Yeehaw.
It.
And I'll sing it up. Or if they're not ready for it and they're still chill, I'm going to go What's Love Got to Do With It by Tina Turner.
No, that's great. I may or may not have sang Wannabe by the Spice Girls in this register.
Video or it didn't happen. All right. On that note, it has been a pleasure. We're going to take a break, get you news, all that good stuff. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 1 o'clock, so here's news with Vic Vaughn.
Thanks, Amy. Skies are mostly clear at O'Hare. It's 78 degrees at the airport. A video is garnering attention this morning after it was sent into Channel 9 and aired last night. In it, a pair of toddlers can be seen playing near the open second floor window of an apartment building at Kildare and Palmer in the city's Logan Square neighborhood. A half dozen local residents can be seen coaxing the children back inside the apartment. No word yet on whether the parents will face charges. Protesters marched last night through a neighborhood where a Chicago police officer shot a 17-year-old last week. Kayvon Purnell is recovering. He's also facing serious charges. Police say he came up to the officer in the parking lot of a Family Dollar store at 79th and Yates with a gun. His mother, Irma Barrage, says they don't believe it.
I just need the truth. Yeah.
The truth.
Yeah. That's the truth. How my son is facing charges.
Trumped up charge.
17 years old.
Purnell is in the Cook County Jail Medical Wing. He's due back in court in August. The officer's been placed on desk duty pending a full investigation. President Trump made his first official visit to the UK last night. ABC News senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, tells us while there were protesters waiting to greet the president, the British government gave him a warm welcome.
President Trump went to Blenheim Palace, one of these enormous palaces out in the British countryside, where he was given full court press. The bands turned out, the guardsmen turned out, there was music, it was a black tie function. It was as close to a state dinner and a state visit as you can possibly get. That's because the British establishment, the Conservative Party, and many other people recognise that in the wake of Brexit, when we're pulling out of our partnership with Europe, we need America more than ever before.
Today, the president meets with British Prime Minister Theresa May. They'll hold a joint news conference. The president then will have tea with Queen Elizabeth before leaving for Scotland. And a salmonella outbreak linked to a popular breakfast cereal continues to grow. ABC's Richard Cantu reports.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says Kellogg's Honey Smacks have been linked to a salmonella outbreak that began in March. 100 people sickened in 33 states.
Kellogg's voluntarily recalled that cereal last month. Since then, Florida and Colorado have been added. At least 30 people have been hospitalized, one of them in Illinois. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Hey, John, you know, we've been bonding over Amy Kite Real Estate for quite a while now.
We have, and that's because Amy sells homes with a sense of urgency. Tom and Brenda had been stressing about their home for months. Tom was out of work. They'd already burned through their retirement, so they called Amy, who understood. Her team sold their home above list price quickly, allowing them to salvage some equity.
Typical story with Amy. If you're selling your home and worried if it will sell on time with the best offer, you got to call Amy Kite. With Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity, you set the price and deadline, and if it isn't sold by then, she can buy it or her property management company can rent it.
And as always, working with Amy doesn't obligate you to a thing. If she isn't doing her job, you're out of the contract.
But Amy Kite will sell your home. She works all 8 counties in Chicagoland. Call her today at 847-877-9881 or online at amywillsellyourhome.com.
And start packing.
Hey, Chicagoland. Spike Odell here, back on the radio for Ray and Raymond Chevrolet in Fox Lake and Antioch. I have known the Scarpelli family for years, and I tell you this from my heart, they don't make any better people. And that also translates into the business world. It's a big reason why people do business with them time after time after time. Because once you do business with them, you know you got a great car at a great price and award-winning service when needed.
The Red, White, and Blue sales event is here at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake, and they're
giving you three great ways to save. One, choose 35% off MSRP. Or two, get 0% for 72 months. Or option three, right now, make the smart choice and switch to a Chevy to take advantage of $2,500 in conquest bonus cash. Save big during the Red, White, and Blue sales event only at RayChevrolet.com or visit them on Route 12 in Fox Lake. Chevy, find new roads. Savings based off MSRP on select models. MSRP may not reflect actual selling price. Must finance through GMF with approved credit. $13.89 per month per $1,000 financed. All finance offers to qualified buyers on select models. Four more available at this offer.
WGN Sports, the White Sox host the Royals tonight. Pregame with Andy Mazur at 6:35. The first pitch at 7:10 with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson on 720 WGN. The Cubs are back on the field today, this time in San Diego. The first pitch at 9:10. Blackhawks made some trades, and moved some, cleared up some cap space, rather. They traded with the Coyotes. Stan Bowman sent Marian Hossa, Vinny Hinostroza, and Jordan Osterley to Arizona. He brought back Marcus Kruger, along with some minor league prospects. Hossa waived his no-move clause to allow that trade. He helped the Blackhawks win three Stanley Cup championships. WGN Traffic and Roger Badish.
And we're still dealing with a couple of fires out there right now. Apartment fire at 6200 block of South Bishop, and that's been going on for a couple of hours now. And the other one, 6700 block of South Loomis, a very serious fire there. So again, be careful if you're driving in those areas. Staging areas have been set up. You will be detoured around those fires. And as far as your travel times go on the area expressways, tollways, or highways, just a lot of overnight road construction right now. No serious accidents, and your travel times are basically at normal speeds. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Roger Banish, WGN Traffic Central.
And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, partly sunny and hazy today, high 93. Later tonight, the chance of a passing thunderstorm. We cool off into the low 70s. Then Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds, humid with highs near 90, and we'll see some afternoon and evening thunderstorms on Saturday. A few of these could bring some strong storms. Right now, a few clouds and 78 at O'Hare. It's 77 at the lakefront. I'm Vic Vaughn in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, all right, all right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine! I was born with my papa's son wandering out and a smoking gun. Some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. Huh. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. I feel alright. I feel alright tonight.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We are in Studio D on the west side of the building, and we are 18 stories above lovely Chicago on a Friday morning, Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show, Spies, and You Big Dummy. All of our regular features are coming up, and that's all coming up right here on WGN, and we're going to talk about some summer obsessions and some weird traditions in each state. And our good friend Dan Feinberg is going to join us. Now, normally he is with us on Thursday mornings, every other Thursday, but we pushed it to Friday because yesterday morning, Thursday morning, the Emmy nominations were announced, and we are going to go through the Emmy nominations here category by category and have Dan's thoughts on that. Dan is a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And we're going to talk all things Emmy with our good friend Dan Feinberg. That's what's coming up on the show. 312-981-7200
for talk or text. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, and it's facebook.com/Nick D Show. So there you go. Let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagru. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you, sir?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Good. Got plans for the weekend?
We are watching some of our friends' kids. So
it'll be, it's a kids' weekend.
Kids' weekend. Full Shagru household.
So. There you go. We're going to, my parents and I are going to make up for not going to the movies last week because I was under the weather. But we're going to go to Gale Street like we planned last week, didn't go.
Right on.
We're going to see The Rock hang off of a tall building for an hour and a half. Then we're going to go to the Gale Street Inn. We'll celebrate my birthday belated. And my parents' 56th anniversary is tomorrow.
Happy anniversary.
Yes.
It's awesome.
56 years. So we'll do that tomorrow. So that's going to be a fun weekend. Vic Vaughn is in the newsroom, my good friend. How are you, Vic?
I'm doing pretty well, sir.
Good,
how are
man.
You?
Good, good. You sound like 100% now.
I think I did. I'm one last nose blow and bam, I was back. I did. I thought, what? Hey, I'm back. Yeah,
one so. Last nose blow. I think that was wasn't that an album by Saga at some point? I think,
of course. What?
Yeah. Vic, you got plans for the weekend?
I want to go to the Taste of Chicago before it's over. I want to get some candied bacon. And other than that, rest.
All right. Well, have a great weekend. You're here all morning. And Esmeralda is off in L.A. Well, she's in San Diego now, going to L.A. So sitting in for her is Roger Badich. Hey, Roger.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right. Wow, you're right.
Oh, I'm a little... hold on a second.
Running a little hot. You might want to
bring that down
back
a
away
bit.
A little from the mic there.
How you doing, Nick?
I'm all right. So you got anything planned for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm after tonight, I'm back on my regular weekend schedule.
Oh, so you're working all weekend.
Yeah, working all weekend. And then I'm not in for Esmeralda Sunday night into Monday because I'm already
well, you're
there.
Working.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so. But then I'll be back with you Monday night into Tuesday night into Wednesday, and then Esmeralda's back Wednesday
and,
night.
And she's back Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. All right, well, there's what's going on. That's the crew. My great producer, Dan Shagru, Vic Vaughn. He's got all your news in the newsroom, and your traffic dude this morning is Roger Badich. All of our regular Friday features, like I said, will be coming up. And that's Straight Out of Context, Nick T Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and of course, Fly Jams Friday. Get your Fly Jams ready to go, and DJ Shagru will be ready to go, and that'll be coming up a little bit later on. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, and again, follow us on Twitter, and also subscribe to our podcast. Go to iTunes, subscribe. They're free. Every second of this show is podcast, and if you subscribe, it'll automatically show up, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. All right, let's get this thing started. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Marian Hossa, consistently good. Love that he came to our city.
Marian Hossa,
number 81.
Marian Hossa.
I speak for our fans, our players, and coaches tonight. When I say Marian Hossa, we are proud. You are a Chicago Blackhawk.
Thanks, Hoss. From the station that was always at its best when you were.
Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, Chicago, we've got the ultimate food festival for you. For 19 days across the city, Chicago's top chefs and tastemakers are creating one-of-a-kind culinary events that only they could dream up, and you can be a part of it. From pop-ups, outdoor tastings, night markets, and more, let your taste buds lead the way. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for dates and details. That's ctfoodbowl.com.
Tom, I'm having vanity issues.
Lindsay, the producer of the House Smart Show, has vanity issues?
Well, I want to remodel my bathroom and need a new vanity cabinet. That's why I'm here at the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom in your Builder's Supply Outlet.
No one has more vanities in stock. No one. Forget cheap particle board. We're talking all wood construction with full extension cushion closed drawers.
Wow, look at this beautiful vanity.
That's our 48-inch comfort height shaker vanity. Only $449.
And these tops come in so many colors.
We stock over 400 gorgeous granite and quartz vanity tops, all at true outlet prices.
Before you make a vanity purchase, make the drive to the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom in Builder Supply Outlet on Cermak Road in Broadview, or the newest location of the Edge on 151st Street in Orland Park.
High-end look without the high-end price. The Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom
from Builder Supply Outlet.
Or visit edgekitchenandbath.com.
Any building without fire sprinklers is not a safe place. Sprinkler Fitters Local 281 has been saving Chicagoland lives and property for over 100 years. Go to sprinklerfitterschicago.org.
There's an amazing supper club in Wisconsin Dells, Ish Nala, nestled among the pines and perched above the sandstone bluffs of Mirror Lake. The beauty, the history, the service, the food, the fun. Hi, this is Bob Prosser, owner of Ish Nala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells. I have been a part of Ish Nala for 30 years, and I am so proud to continue the tradition that began in 1953. Why not enjoy a brandy old-fashioned in one of our bars, each with a spectacular view overlooking Mirror Lake, or just relax before or after dinner?